There he is.
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
We're happening.
That's how's it going? So good to see your face.
Thank you. Thank you. And you. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good. Back to my board. I couldn't be happier, actually. That's really nice.
Good. And how's family life?
Great, man. He's just starting to munch on his first real food. So we're feeding him some pumpkin and some avocado, and he's loving it, man.
Good. Bringing him up on the good stuff.
Exactly. Nice. Where are you at?
I'm at home. I have a new home, and I just moved in last week. So it's a bit of a mess, and you know how it is when you move in. But honestly, Ruben, I used to live in a place that didn't really have it. It was in the town, and I didn't really have sun, and I didn't really have a view. Now I've got this freaking massive view, both sides of the house. I live on the top of a small hill, so the sun hits me in the morning and hits me last thing in the evening. I've got this amazing view. I've got plenty of room. I just feel like, oh my God, thank you so much. I'm just like, the joy that it brings, and I hadn't recognized how restricting it is. You know, I'd have a good day at the beach testing or something, and then I'd go home and it would just be like, oh my God, into the dungeon. And now I come home and it's like, fuck yeah.
Amazing. So, good, nice. Congratulations, bro. Well done. That's good.
Yeah, it's amazing. I can't believe the difference. I just feel, I mean, I was never unhappy, but I've realized how much happier I can be just with the right location.
How much more comfortable it is. I mean, that's what Corona does for a lot of people, I guess, to just bring some more order in your time and space. And that really helps, man. So I'm glad to hear it.
Thank you. Good. Good, good. So what are we doing? What's happening?
What are we doing? We're doing epic shit, as always.
Man, there's so much going on. It's crazy. Oh, my goodness.
I can imagine. And
have you heard how good everything's going?
Definitely. Everything is flying.
Fuck. Thank goodness. I love it. Let's carry on.
Let's carry on. That's for sure, man. So yeah, this call is basically just set up. I've prepared a few questions because I'm pretty new to the wing foiling, as it the winging. The sport just came about when I was injured. So I've got a lot to learn. And we kind of want to get to know a little bit more from you. So I will record this call and then we'll see if it's some useful information for people to get some more background info.
Cool, man. Cool. Let's do it.
Nice. So, Rob, good to see you. Please just explain us who you are, where you're at the moment, and what you actually do.
Okay. I'm Rob Whittle. Nice. Sorry. Let's start again. Ruben, great to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me to this conversation. My name's Rob Whittle. I have been with Ozone since the beginning. Started the company with some friends and basically always been involved in the design and testing of whether it was paragliders or kites. I live in New Zealand at the moment in a place called Raglan, and this is where we spend a lot of time developing a lot of the products. Obviously, I work with a team that is with Stuart Yarrow, who's in Norway, Dom Zimmerman, who is in Germany, Switzerland, and Spain. And now we have a new little protege on board, who is Simon Brunner, who is in Spain and working with Dom. So with this current COVID scenario, we're a little spread all over the place. But it turns out to be working quite well. And let's not forget Torin Bright, who is also everybody's right-hand man.
Yeah, wicked man. Yeah, I mean, I've been observing you guys over the past year, and it's been amazing, or year or two. And it's been amazing to see how you guys connect and just keep having these insights. And you guys have a lot of products, or we as Ozone. How many products do we have? Like, how many kites or...
I don't like to count things because it's more than I would like to imagine. But we cover everybody and everything. So we're always very busy as a design team. I'm nominated head of design, but obviously I couldn't do anything without the guys as well. It's a team effort. So product wise, how many do we have? Yeah, enough to keep everyone happy in virtually every denomination of sport that you would want to do on the water.
Amazing. And just tell me a little bit, how did you roll into becoming a designer?
Oh, well, the funny thing was, I've always been involved in testing because I started off testing hang gliders and then paragliders. And you tend to work with a lot of designers, and you're sitting on their shoulder while they're, working on designs, and slowly you see what they're doing and you start picking it up. And of course, there's always something that's lost in translation when you're working with a designer, because I have this feeling, and no matter how I try and convey it, that feeling often wasn't really taken on board and not really understood. And one day, effectively, the design seat became open, and I sat down in it and started to, really get involved. And it just turned out that, fortunately, it took away that needing of translation, because I could directly sort of create and try and solve these problems without going through an interpreter. So I could just go straight to the computer and design and develop things that I thought would work. And of course, there's an element of ego in there as well, and you always imagine that you know best, but over the years I've learned that I don't know best, and that's why I have a great team of people that give me feedback and support and ideas, and vice versa. We thrive off each other's ideas rather than, following one guy's ideas, because one guy only has a brain so big. Four or five guys, let's amass the knowledge and use all the amassed knowledge. So yeah, that got me here, sat behind the computer far too much. I'm actually a sportsman. I love sport, but at the same time, the artistic side of me loves to create these things, loves to problem solve. And I think we all enjoy watching people enjoy the things that we create. So, that's the main thing is, for me, the seal of approval that you've done a good job is watching people that don't know you and you don't know them, but they're coming off the water with one of your kites or one of your products and they're smiling and they're buzzing. And that's when you know that, you know, that's the satisfaction in the job as such.
Amazing. That's so good to hear. And obviously, yeah, you are an experienced athlete because you do all these sports yourself. So it's really, yeah, nice for you to translate your feeling into the products. And yeah. You're working with a team is awesome, of course, because like you say, we all inspire each other and have a different perspective. So I think that's how you come to the best solution. So that's really, really awesome.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think one of the things that's super important is that, you know, that even though performance is always relevant and things, the most important thing is what we're really doing is we're creating a feeling, and we share that feeling with, you know, the people who enjoy the Ozone feeling as well, and the brand. And you only go home with a feeling. You know, you have a session, it's how much fun you had, it's what you take home from it. And yes, for sure, performance is one thing, blah, 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 but it's only measurable to a certain degree, because at the end of the day, regardless of the performance, you still only go home with a feeling. And that feeling is what we are trying to create. You know, we just want, regardless of where the performance is, the feeling is what counts, because that's what you take home with you. And that's what you, you know, you transmit to your friends, you know, oh man, it was an amazing session, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not as if you're trying to quantify that session down to, you know, well, the performance is like this and like that. It's the feeling. So we work on delivering, hopefully, a good feeling so that people go home after the end of their session buzzing, really. That's what we want.
100%. Well, you achieved that right away, actually, when I tried Ozone products. I mean, the amp was designed before I was even involved. And even with the C4, I love the feeling. And yeah, you guys are just always so spot on with the specialty that you create these products for. So thanks for that, because I'm having a blast on it.
Good. Thank you. And that's the game. That's the game, you know, if you strip away the business, the game is about pleasure. And we just want people to have pleasure, and people just want to have pleasure and fun. So, you know, our job is to facilitate that, and for that to be as encompassing and as satisfying as possible. So that's the game, really.
100%. Yeah, well done. And you are mainly focused on the kites and the wings, or yeah.
Mainly focused on everything. but yeah, I'm not doing boards or anything. I'm not doing any. Yes, all the flying things I'm focused on. I'm involved in the speed wing design as well for the paragliding department. But mostly it's kites, whether they're Ram Air or inflatable. And obviously, with the advent now of the wing, then I'm doing the wings as well with my team. Let's not forget the team.
With the team, of course. I mean, that speed riding, that speed flying, that's something I still hardly want to get into. maybe over time I can ease my way into that. But what I specifically want to talk to you about is actually the wing, the Wasp, which you've designed. So I'm curious to when you've first thought or heard or saw about the wing concept. When was it?
That was a couple of years ago now, with a slingshot wing that I saw a photo of someone in the gorge on a foil with a wing, and I thought, oh, that looks pretty interesting. And it was ticking in my head, because obviously the foils then were becoming sort of more accessible, and they'd gone away from performance kite racing foils, and they'd started to turn into enjoyable fun foils. And I wasn't a fan of the kite racing foils, because they were too much performance for me, and I just didn't feel comfortable with the kite and these sharp, fast foils. And then once they started to go into sort of what we'll describe as surf foils, and they were slower and not as sharp and generally more forgiving and easier, it was, yeah, okay, we need to get involved with this new aspect. Nobody at that point knew it was going to be quite as big as it just turned out to be. But then literally probably a week after me bringing this up with our crew and talking about it, Kai Lenny had just started riding Ozone Rios. And there was a little bit of email conversation with him, and he sent me a mail saying, "Hey, I don't suppose you're going to be making any of those wings, are you?" Well, it just so happens we've been talking about it. So that conversation also got brought up with the guys. And of course, with my interest and then being multiplied by Kai Lenny's interest, it seemed like something we should do. So yeah, then it was pull all the stops out. Let's get going. Let's make one of these. And here we are today with a new sport that is a lot of fun. And it, again, it's a lot of people on the water, just reinforcing water sports, really. It's fantastic.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's exploding, like everywhere you see the wing. And what were your first like thoughts and imaginations of the possibility with the wing? Because now they use it with skating, with surfing, with foiling, on the snow even. So was that something you envisioned like firsthand? Or?
No, I cannot claim any of that. I was literally seeing it as a way to get a lot of time on a foil without, and the accessibility. I like the accessibility because it doesn't need two people. You don't need someone to launch and land you. All those restricted areas where you don't necessarily have enough room on, say, riverbanks and various areas of the coast where there's no beaches and things. Suddenly I was like, man, that's a way to get on the water that only requires a very small entry point, because then you can paddle out to the wind, or you can, you know, you can work your way through the trees at some river and get on, or a lake, and just get onto the water. So I was seeing it more like that. But hey, and this is the beauty of our world today. Everyone can choose and translate these things into whatever they want them to be. So now we've got them on skateboards, like you say, and on the snow. And, you know, Kai's flying down Jaws with his surfboard, which is pretty amazing. So, yeah, who knows where it's actually going and what's going to happen. But the best thing is, you know, it consolidates the water sports arena again. You know, more people on the water is just a good thing, because it's more people connecting with nature and more people hopefully having fun and enjoying, you know, an aspect of their life.
Yeah, man, 100%. And like you said, the accessibility, it's pretty safe to get into. So and it opens up like so many new playgrounds. So it's a really good addition. And yeah, maybe you can tell me a little bit more about how did you develop the first WASP, the WASP V1, and what does a process like that look like?
Okay, well, you know, the best thing is always to be totally honest, because this is the way things really happen. So once we decided to get into it, we were in Mauritius at the time because it was before COVID. So I was there with Dom and Torin. We made about five prototypes in the beginning that were all just ideas. And what I have to say is that in the beginning, because it was the first one, the first one is a reaction to what you've already seen and what you're trying to achieve. The V2 obviously is a refined reaction. So the V1 is just, this is our answer to this question. I'm not saying it's the best answer in the world, but it certainly wasn't a bad answer either.
Definitely working.
Yes. Oh no, it was, I mean, it was fantastic, and it still ticks all the boxes. It's just not as refined, but you can't have a refined product when it's the first one. So it was basically our reaction to what was happening on that market or in that space. And so we were in Mauritius, and it was just a case of, you know, the first ones we made, the leading edge was too thin, so there was too much flex. So we started to increase the size of the leading edge, and each step of the way, the leading edge got thicker and thicker and thicker, until finally, you know, the first ones were this big, and now it's this big. And it took us quite a few steps to recognize how big it needed to be to actually gain that structural stability and to reduce the flex. Otherwise, there was too much flex. And then there was all these other small, small details. We didn't even know particularly where to put the handles. We didn't recognize the importance of where those handles should actually be. We were just, right, well, let's just put handles everywhere and that covers everything. Mm-hmm. And it does sort of cover everything, except that it's still critical where those handles are actually placed. So, the first one, it turned out to be a great wing. We had a load of fun developing it and designing it because we were also learning the sport at the same time, solving problems, recognizing things that all beginners will struggle with, because we were beginners. You know, it's a new sport. We're not experts. We're beginners. So in a way, it was quite a beautiful process because we were actually feeling and understanding the problems that people are going to have because we were having them. And, you know, typically now with kites and the things that you're the sports that you're good at doing, you don't have any problems. So you automatically start at a level that, you know, you just throw the kite up and feel it and off you go. So to actually be brought back to that learning process was very good for us. And it's still fresh in my head. So when we're working on the V2, it was really easy to understand what attributes something needs to make that product, you know, more accessible, easier to use. So yeah, that's how it came about. And it was just trial and error. You know, most of our design is trial and error. Hopefully come up with a good idea, work on it, refine it. Again, I was with Dom and Torin, and we'd be talking to each other about what everybody was feeling, because we, you know, well, Torin learns everything in 2 seconds. Dom takes 5 minutes and I take 3 hours. So, you know, those younger guys are just picking it up and I'm still crashing and smashing all over the place.
Overthinking it, Rob.
Yeah, well, no, overthinking it. Actually, just these guys have some great skills, and some of those skills I don't quite have like they have. And that's the beauty of a design team. You know, we're a rounded bunch. Some things they pick up quicker than I do, and most things I pick up slower than they do.
A dynamic bunch, so to say. But I think that's so addictive about it. Well, also just the feeling of the gliding on the foil and just playing with the wind and the wing, and the progress that you can make. Like you say, you felt like a total beginner again. I think that's just priceless. You know, it just keeps you hungry for more, and you just want to progress. But I'm curious, like, how many prototypes did you actually make for the Wasp V1?
I think we were into the 20s, and I don't really like to get into the 20s with anything, because it's like being a designer is a bit like being a chef. There's ingredients that are required. As a good chef, you should know what those ingredients are. Certainly with the Wasp, when you get to looking at 20, we had no experience whatsoever, so we had to learn how to cook, what ingredients were required for this. So that's why it took so many. Normally I'd like to be done by sort of between 5 and 10. You know, by number 5, you should have the crux of the thing sorted. And the next 5 prototypes are honing the design and cleaning things up and just, you know, the refinements. But, you know, with the Wasp, everything was new, and we didn't know anything. And like I said, just with the leading edge size, we probably spent 5 prototypes just finding where is big enough. So there's, you know, 5 gone just on the leading edge. Then there's the sail tension. Boom, there's another 5, because, you know, you start off loose and then you put some tension in and you put a bit more in, and it needs more, you know. So you do another one with more, and so on and so forth. So yeah, it took more than I like, but at the same time, we didn't know anything. So that's what happens. The V2 also took probably 15 because we changed the philosophy of the design. So we had a lot to learn. So next time, hopefully it'll be less. But this is all part of learning. And just like learning the sport, also for me as a designer, it's enjoyable to learn new aspects of design. Because if you think of a kite, for instance, because it's an arc, it's all what I'd describe as positively loaded, because from the bar going up to the lines and across the top surface and back down to the bar, you have this basically continual positive load that's always working in the right way. Well, as soon as you go to a wing, obviously you don't have any suspension lines pulling that form and making that form and making the load distribution nice and smooth. You have what I call losing load, which is the more load you put on it, the more it wants to flex. So you can't control that through the technology and understanding that you control a kite with. You need to learn absolutely everything again. So, or you have to not learn, but you have to imagine what's going to solve these issues, totally different issues than you have with a kite. So for me, it's fantastic because it's, everybody loves learning, and I'm learning now how to design wings, or we are learning how to design wings. And some of that is translating into kites as well, because there are new aspects of the wing that we have to look at in this way. Oh, maybe we can do that with the kites. Oh, there you go. We'll put that in there as well. So it's very, it's refreshing on a design learning side of things.
Awesome. Yeah, it's basically just learning how to chop and use your ingredients, and you can apply them in different dishes. So you are the chef.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one day I might make MasterChef.
Nice. And then for the wasp pizza, you were talking a little bit about it already, but how did the process look like, and kind of who helped you? The whole team, obviously. But with the pandemic, did you have some riders helping you test, or what did the V2 process look like?
Unfortunately, the pandemic did derail the design team getting together, because we go to Mauritius during the New Zealand winters, because it's not that much fun here in the winter testing, and there's not that many good days. So normally we go to Mauritius for sort of anywhere between 3 to 5 months. We couldn't do that last year. So I stayed here with Torin. Dom and the other guys were over in Europe. And it kind of came down to me to get a long way up along the design process, because I was here. Torin was here too, but he was coping with a lot of the other things that were going on. He wasn't so involved in the actual testing last year. So I just basically got my head down and started working on trying to improve it and trying new design techniques. And once I'd found the basic ingredients, then obviously we'd make a couple of prototypes. One would come to me, one would go to Dom. He'd test that, we'd confer. Okay, then I'd make another couple until we'd found something else that was good. And then I'd send one to him, and he'd test that and give me his feedback. And we'd have Kai involved in that, which is one of the reasons that when you see Kai flying at Jaws, he's on a prototype there, because, I've been firing prototypes to Kai for the last year to get him involved, because he wants a specific kind of feeling and a specific kind of wing for his Jaws antics. Yes, his Jaws flying. So we've been trying to involve him because, the guy has an amazing feeling, and, he can push the product far further than I can push it. So, or any of us can push it. So it's good to have him involved. And then it was going back to that initial stage of when I was learning. And this is sort of as a designer, it's the most important thing to remember is that, yes, for sure, you have all these good riders, and the good riders are important for feedback. But in fact, the most important thing is that you're delivering something that is very easily usable by the general public. And the general public have what I would describe as weekend skills. And, you know, the, most people are going to work during the week and they only get a chance to hone those skills at the weekend. So then it depends on the weather, responsibilities, blah, blah, blah. You might get out 2-3 times a month. So our products have to be aimed at these people because, you know, we need them to go out, and on the days that they do go out or manage to find the time and the stars align and the wind's perfect and everything else is happening, we need the wings to, or the kites to be as easy and as accessible as we can. And because that was very fresh in my head, I think we've now made the V2, how do you say, has more performance overall, but in terms of being user-friendly, it's so user-friendly. It just makes it easy. And I'm not saying it's still a difficult sport because you've got to fly the foil and deal with the wing. But, you know, the wing is just, it just, the V2 just sort of sits there and you just pull the back hand, and the balance of the load between the front and rear hand is, to me, feels very natural. And there's just power on hand. You don't, you know, it's just easy going. I think we've ended up with a product that is just more fun to ride. Easier for people to ride, has lots of power, boosts well, goes up wind like a demon. You know, it's just like, oh yeah, this is excellent. So anyone that's got the V1, the progression to the V2 is, you know, it's just like, oh, everyone's smiling. It just makes life easy and it's comfortable.
Magic worked. Well, I'm glad I ordered one and should be here soon. So,
good.
I can get out playing and feel like a beginner again. I'm looking very forward to that. But I was just thinking, like, not everybody flies down jaws like Kai Lenny does, but obviously working together with him, you learn a lot and still focused on making this this wing accessible for everyone and also for kids that are coming into the sport. So that's amazing. And nice work on that. But then I'm curious, what are some of the main features then of the Wasp V2?
The main thing is really we've gone away from having the strut following the sail at the top. And now we have what you would describe as a rib or a baffle between both sides. So the strut goes from the leading edge to the trailing edge. And in between, but it's a straight line. And in between, we have a rib that shapes the top surface. So we were able to increase the thickness of the section, which means that we have basically more power for the size. And the idea was in the beginning was to have more power with the same size, because we don't want them getting bigger, because obviously they're just more cumbersome and the tips touch the water and so on and so forth. So the main thing was we wanted to make the smallest wing possible with the most power we could, so that you can have something that's easy and fun in your hands, but has lots of power, rather than having to go bigger and bigger and bigger to try and get this power. For sure. If you're like me at sort of 70 kgs, I only ever need the 4 meter. If you're 80, 85 kgs, then your standard is probably going to be the 5 meter, because, you know, you have these 15 kgs more. And if you're above that, then you're probably going to be needing the 6 meter. But if you need the 6 meter, the chances are you're a big guy as well, which means that the wing tips are not so involved in touching the water. So it kind of goes like that. And same thing if you're smaller, you know, you can ride a 3 meter or a 2.3 meter pretty much all the time if you want, because it tends to be, it's better to change the foil underwater than it is to deal with a bigger wing or whatever above the water. So I typically only ride a 4 meter. If it's super windy, I'll put an 850 wing underwater. If it's really light, I'll use the 1850. So yeah, that's, you know, because obviously the water is something like 780 times more dense than air. So it makes sense to increase and reduce your performance underwater than it is to try and, you know, put a bigger wing up, because basically light wind, and whether you're on a 4 meter or a 6 meter, it still doesn't make that much difference compared to changing your foil wing.
100%. Yeah, I can imagine the foil on the water makes a huge difference, and they have now this big gliding foil, so that that probably helps a lot. And I saw some accessories coming with this Wasp V2 as well. What are the accessories all about? Why do we need them?
Well, Dom always does a great job on this. We've got the harness, just very light, easy harness that is designed so that obviously getting on the boards and things, the harness can be a pain in the ass because you've got the metal hook, which can damage the board. So the harness is actually designed to slide around. So we've got a slippy material on the inside. I'm not a big harness user. I actually like the physical aspect of just hanging on. You soon get used to it. But there are people that want to have a harness. So Dom came up with the harness. He likes to ride with the harness as well. And, you know, if you're jumping, if you want to go sort of racing with your friends, then the harness is a great idea. Yeah. So, that's come along. Excuse me. And Dom's done all the, you know, the attachments for the harness line and everything, and making it so that it's very nicely balanced. So, yeah. I think that's that is. Do we have anything else? I think that's about it.
I think I saw the leash and the harness.
Oh, yeah. Of course, the leash and things. Yeah. I just leave all that to Dom because he's the pro on all that stuff. I just use it. Yep, leash is good. You know, small things like the leash, it just choosing the right material so that it's easy to pull the wing back in, not slipping through your hands, especially when it's blowing 25 knots plus and the thing's flapping and going crazy, then you can just haul it in easily because we've used some good materials, super strong, reinforced bits and pieces so that nothing's pulling out and not breaking. Yeah.
Amazing. So how can people get started with the wing? Like what do you recommend people to start with?
Easiest thing to do, I always say, and this is something that is often overlooked even with kite surfing, but the easiest thing to do, most humans are capable of learning one thing at once. So go to the beach on a nice day when there's a good, you know, solid breeze, 15 knots, learn how to fly the wing, get the wing totally in control so that you can just relax with the thing in the air. You've understood the direction changes. There's a lot of the backhand really controls everything. The backhand controls your left and right and obviously your power. So just go to the beach, make sure you are fully au fait with how it works and how it feels. And, you know, you should be able to fly it basically on two fingers. You don't need to be holding it and tensing up on the thing. It's a wing, let the wing fly. So once you've learned to fly the wing, then it's a good idea to go to a non-foiling board. So just a SUP, just to get the understanding of how the power comes on when you're actually on the water. Do some good amount of laps on the water like that. Once you've understood that, then you can start mixing it with a foil. If you don't have foil experience, then I suggest that if you can find someone with a boat or a jet ski and you do some towing, obviously that's the easy way. Because again,
kiting and towing. Somebody can learn kite.
Yes, yeah, you can do that too. But again, learning one thing at once is the best thing. So learn the foil, learn the wing, learn how to ride the foil, learn how to ride the wing on the water, and then you can add the foil. So yeah, for instance, here in Raglan, Matt at Ozone New Zealand has a 1 hour foiling course where for $100, which is amazing value, you get an hour of foil experience. And it's the best money you can spend because, you know, it just gives you an hour of foil time. And to get an hour of foil time in the beginning when you're learning to foil is hard work. Whereas if you're just doing it behind a jet ski, you know, just pull you up at just the right speed, you learn how to control the foil, okay. And literally we've had people who've done 1 hour of towing work, jet ski work with the foil. They've learned to use the wing on the beach. They've done their SUP winging backwards and forwards a few times. We've brought them together with the foil and the wing, and they've literally gone riding on the first day.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm looking forward to get started though. And yeah, how they also pass the wing around, like it's quite some new handling. So it's a good tip to just start on the beach.
Yes. Oh yeah. No. Start on the beach. The one thing, you know, it's sort of a side effect of modern times. Modern times, everybody wants everything now instant. Yes. Okay. You cannot have these things instantly, but we can guide you to getting them quickly. But if you want them instantly, I can assure you it's going to take you longer to get them.
Just put on your VR goggles.
Yeah. But put the time in practicing the elements, because if you practice the elements and then you put them together, you get it. But if you just try and put everything together at once and you haven't practiced the elements, then you're not going to get it. So that's why I say, you know, I was just watching a guy the other week. He didn't want to do the learning. He just wanted to do the trying. Well, okay. He did the trying and it didn't look that much fun because you haven't learned any of the skills. So, you know, you can learn so much. It's the same with paragliding and also with kite surfing. You can learn so much on the beach. So get the wing in your hands, feel it, fly it, let it become an understanding you have rather than something you're almost fearful of because you haven't learned how to control the power. You know, for any form of progression, there has to be an element of mastery. If you don't master any of the elements, there is no progression. So master some elements, progress will come.
Nice. That's some wise advice right there. I remember my first time foiling, combining the kite and the foil. It was just 1 hour of fully wiping out, and that was hurting. But after an hour, I finally got the hang of it, but I should have done it your way.
Well, no, back then, there wasn't really another way. Now we're beginning to understand, you know, we can put these pieces together to make life easier for people. So let's put those pieces together, because at the end of the day, nobody really wants to go slamming into the water 30, 40 times when you only have to do it 3 times if you've done some of the groundwork first. So let's do the groundwork. Let's spread the knowledge that, you know, standing on the beach with a wing, you might think isn't part of the sport, but it's certainly one of the best ways to learn. And, you know, get out there. You can put an hour in on the beach and save yourself 5 hours on the water. You know, just it's that simple.
Amazing.
And you can practice the turns, what you do with the wing, turn around, face this way, feel the power. Yeah, bring it over, put it that way. You can practice coming from your knees and going to one knee and then using the wing to pull yourself up. You know, these are all skills that you're going to need on the water. And once you take them to the water, it all just gets harder. So if you've got them on the land, then, you know, you're at least 80% of the way there.
Nice. And then it really becomes your wingman, because on the beach, you can still chat to the ladies and give them a try as well. So I think that's a good thing to have.
You know, honestly, one of the things I love about winging, and it's a new aspect to the sport or to the water sports thing, is that it's bringing more females into our sports, which is fantastic. Also, that's obviously going to translate as well into people going from wings into kites as well in the future. But definitely what we're feeling is there is a lot less fear that people have when there's no lines involved. It's amazing how many people, and especially females, have come up and said, wow, that looks amazing, I want to do that. I always like the look of kiting, but it's too dangerous with those lines and the kite. And yes, you can, you know, send the kite the wrong way and take a good slamming. The good thing with the wing is, you know, for sure you can hit the board and the foil and blah, blah, blah. But generally, when it overpowers you, it's not a sort of catastrophic overpowering. You just, oh, and you can just let go and life's easy. So anything that brings, you know, more diversity to the sport, more kids, more females, then it's happy days.
I love it, man. Well, let's close it off on that. Thank you so much for the chat today, Rob. And I will catch up with you soon.
Thank you, Ruben. Can't wait. Yes, let's hope this whole COVID madness stops soon and we can go traveling and enjoy meeting people and having good times all over the world again.
Exactly. We can send it again together, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool, man. Take it easy. Thank you very much.
You too. Have a wonderful day, Rob.
Will do. And you.
Bye-bye.
Nice.